on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You know, when we talk about killers like Brian Koberger, there's often this assumption that once the prison door slams shut, that's the end of the story. Case closed, he's locked away, fade to black. But the reality is far stranger and frankly darker. Because for someone like Koberger, prison isn't just a place. It's a psychological pressure cooker. And the early signs coming out of this behind bars are exactly what you'd expect from a man who built his whole identity around control and superiority. They're unraveling him. Think about it. Within weeks of being locked in J-Block, the unit reserved for the worst of the worst, he's already filing handwritten complaints. Not just one or two, but multiple complaints about food, about harassment, about not getting the vegan portions he thinks he deserves. He's begging to be moved to a different block because other inmates are taunting him through the vents and saying bad things. Like the only we're going to be eating is Koberger's. I could see that being a little disturbing. Sorry, Brian. This is your new reality, and they're getting hungry. He's scribbling letters that read less like reasoned arguments and more like frantic attempts to grasp at some sense of control where he has none. And this is what fascinates me. The guy who thought he was smarter than the police, smarter than his classmates, smarter than everyone else in the room, is now obsessing over mashed peas on a prison tray. The fall from imagine a criminal mastermind to micromanaging the lunch menu is almost poetic. But it's also telling, because in prison, all the masks that they come off, what's left is raw ego under siege. We've seen it before with killers who thought they were untouchable. Put them in a cell, strip away their audience, and suddenly their carefully constructed personas collapse. Koberger is showing us that in real time. He can't handle the humiliation. He can't handle the loss of power. You can't handle the truth. Oh, that too. I don't quote movies much. I don't think I've ever even seen that movie. Anyway, the constant reminder that he's not in charge anymore. And as he tries to fight for scraps of control, writing letters about food, obsessing over being listened to, we start to see the cracks widen a bit. So what does that tell us about his mind? What happens to someone with his mix of narcissism? A better mix of narcissism from the 80s, 90s, and today. Obsessive thinking, possible underlying disorders. When prison takes away everything, does the brain deteriorate? Does the ego implode? Or does the mind invent new ways to cling to power, even if it's just about peas on a tray? That's where I want to start today with psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott. She spent years studying the minds of mass killers, even wrote the book on it. Ta-da! Get it wherever books are sold, and she knows exactly how confident and confinement exposes weak spots. So Siobhan, let me put it to you straight. When you strip away the legal details and just look at those complaints, what do they reveal about Koberger's mind in isolation? Let's get into it.
You're really seeing what jumped out at me is the manifestation of his OCD, which goes back many years, and the online forums he was participating in and talking about his purity of his food and all of that. There's so much wrong with this guy. You know, we talk about him being narcissistic and psychopathic, which is all true. But he's also got this, if we want to call it autism or schizoid personality disorder, we wouldn't really be able to hone that in precisely without doing psych testing on him. But he's got a lot of other things wrong. So he's not just your average psychopathic narcissist. He's got this other quality which is a glitch in his brain. And whenever a person is incarcerated, I think whatever their predisposing problems are, it intensifies because of the stress. Mm-hmm. And so this is a guy who's very, very uncomfortable. And he's going back to his coping mechanisms of trying to gain control and trying to have everything just the way he wants it. And it's obviously it's not going to work.
It's not going to happen in prison. No matter how many letters he writes about not getting his extra side of mashed peas or whatever they're serving that day because they were out of something else. It doesn't matter. He's not, everything's not going to line up all neatly for him the way he wants it to be. What is that going to do to a brain like that? Because again, it's never going to change. This is life going forward. Mm-hmm. And there ain't nothing he can do or say to stop that. Is that, I mean, it's already a very broken brain, mm-hmm. but what does this do to the already broken brain on the only way it seems to know to ride down its rails?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good for him. Is he going to deteriorate into more overt mental illness? Quite possibly. Is he going to, I mean, I'm guessing at this point, they've probably put him on some psych meds to try to calm him down. If not, I would guess that that's in his future. Could he become increasingly paranoid to the point that we're saying this is really psychotic? Mm-hmm. I think that's what the isolation did to Richard Allen. I think he may have had a pre-existing fragility, mm-hmm. and he became very psychotic in jail because of it in prison. So it certainly could go that way.
I'm wondering about, because we've seen three of the letters, one of them about the food tray. And I mean, it was in detail and it was, what would you like us to do to fix this problem? How do you think we should have, and he goes into to great detail. Is that like a survival technique in his brain where you're going to obsess on something and that brain needs something to obsess on? And I'm going to guess, you know, the lunch menu items might be an easier one to stomach than, you know, who's going to be coming and eating you for lunch, as it was suggested through one of the taunts that he pointed out. It reminds me somewhat of individuals that will watch a lot of true crime, who have very strong fears of being a victim of true crime, maybe have been a victim of crime, or who will get into crime, into horror, and watch it on the screen because it's safe. It can't get at you. It's over there. But it fills that curiosity. It fills that void that seems to be there. Is this that same sort of thing where the reality, the darkness, the scariness, it's all there, but if he spends time on that, that's going to drive him nuts. So we better worry far more about the tuna casserole.
Yeah, it's a desperate attempt to have control of something that he still thinks he can have control of, mm-hmm. because it's a very scary thing to be in a situation where you've lost all control. And he's definitely lost control here. And as you mentioned, he's under threat, overt threat. And I mean, we can all say, well, if anybody deserves it, this guy deserves to suffer in that way. But he's got to be struggling with what in the world does he come up with that he can control? And you're right, it's the menu.
What stands out to me here, and I think it should stand out to any of us, really, is how quickly Brian Koberger's grandiose self-image has collapsed under the way to prison. Here's a man who allegedly believed he could outthink law enforcement, outmaneuver his peers, even redefine himself as some kind of intellectual criminal genius. And yet, confronted with the reality of a concrete cell and a hostile block of inmates, his biggest battles are over food trays and taunts through the vents. It's a humiliation that cuts right to the core of his psychology. For someone obsessed with control, the total absence of it is unbearable. And instead of adapting, he's retreating into obsessive details, writing letters about menus, convincing himself he can still control something. But as Siobhan pointed out, that's not resilience, that's desperation. It's the sound of someone trying to rebuild their ego out of scraps, and it's not going so well. So what do we take away from this? One, that prison is doing what it's designed to do, stripping away pretense and exposing who a person really is. Two, that Koberger's coping strategies, the obsessive control, the constant need to dominate, aren't going to survive the grind of isolation. And three, that when you put a fragile ego in a cage, it doesn't grow, it cracks. The question now is how far that spiral will go. Will he deteriorate into outright psychosis, like we've seen with others in solitary, or will he cling forever to petty obsessions? A man who once studied the minds of killers reduced to scribbling grievances about tuna casserole. Either way, the man who thought he was in charge of everything is in charge of nothing. And that, in his own way, is justice. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, if you're not already there. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski, and you'll find us. You can do the same search wherever you get podcasts to find us there. The comments, though, those live on YouTube. So do check us out there and hit subscribe while you are at it. Until next time, for all of us here, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.